Well, this time last week, Australians were heading to the polls. Now the Prime Minister's setting up the coalition to begin its third term in office. Scott Morrison's expected to announce his cabinet tomorrow, and the reshuffle could see some new faces in senior positions. The coalition's also preparing for Parliament to resume, with the aim of getting its planned income tax cuts to a vote. I spoke earlier with our political reporter, Melissa Clark, and I began by asking just how different the new cabinet will look.
Well, the key positions are going to be stable. We know that Josh Frydenberg will remain as Treasurer and Matthias Cormann remain as Finance Minister. And the other key portfolios, Foreign Affairs and Home Affairs, will remain with Maurice Payne and Peter Dutton. And look, even Health and Education and the Attorney General's portfolio are likely to remain the same, staying with Greg Hunt and Dan Tehan and Christian Porter. This is really in keeping with the election campaign approach of warning against the risk of change. This post-election cabinet is going to look very similar to the pre-election cabinet. But there are going to be some changes, and many of them are really forced on the Prime Minister by the fact that he had quite a few retirements pre-election of some senior MPs, the likes of Christopher Pine, Kelly O'Dwyer, Michael Keenan and Nigel Scullion.
Right, so who's likely to get a promotion to fill those gaps?
Well, Arthur Sinodinos is very likely to be returned to Cabinet. He had been in Cabinet previously but had to step down because of health issues. We can expect him to be back in Cabinet. Alan Tudge is probably one likely to be elevated from the outer ministry into Cabinet. He has held the portfolio around population and has been put in charge of the Prime Minister's favourite topic, congestion busting. So we can expect him to be elevated into Cabinet probably with that portfolio. We have had indications prior to the election that Linda Reynolds would be elevated from a junior defence portfolio into the defence minister's position, which would replace Christopher Pine. And there is a certain expectation that the Indigenous Affairs portfolio, which had been held by the retiring Nigel Scullion, could well go to Ken Wyatt. And if that were to happen, it would be the first time an Indigenous person has held the Indigenous Affairs portfolio. So that's a key change to look out for on the weekend. The other one is Susan Ley. The Prime Minister will want to ensure that there is still solid female representation, and the retirement of someone as senior as Kelly O'Dwyer and, of course, Julie Bishop means that we might well see some women promoted.
And what about the Nationals? They performed better than expected at the election. So will there be more Nationals MPs and senators in the ministry?
Well, that's something that's nutted out between Scott Morrison and Michael McCormack as the leader of the Nationals. It's actually part of the formal coalition agreement. This is the document that is drawn up between the two leaders following an election that covers how many positions in Cabinet, what sort of ministerial representation the two parties have, and policy agreements. Now, the Nationals had a good election, but the Liberals had an even better one. So it's likely to be a pretty similar division of portfolios between the two parties. It will be interesting to know what policy agreements are struck between Scott Morrison and Michael McCormack, because it is an agreement between the two leaders, not the two parties. But we won't actually know because the document is never revealed publicly, which is certainly a controversial issue we come across every time a coalition government is elected.
And the way forward is less clear for the Labor Party. How's the opposition 1 week on from its disastrous loss?
Well, in quite a different position from the coalition, which is appointing ministers, getting ready to push its legislation. The ALP is trying to arrange a new leader. It appears that Anthony Albanese will be the lone contender and therefore appointed as the new leader of the Labor Party. The leadership contest will be over quickly, but that doesn't necessarily mean everyone in the Labor Party is going to be happy with the outcome, because some in the party are worried that Anthony Albanese's ascension to the leadership might see a shift to the left, and they worry that's the wrong direction given they've just had a fairly big swing against them at the most recent election. So Anthony Albanese will be under pressure to stay in centre ground. There's a bit of a contest still to be sorted about who will be the deputy leader. It's most likely to be either Richard Marles or Claire O'Neill. They're both from the Victorian right, but it's possible that will be sorted out behind the scenes before it gets to chance to go to a ballot anyway. But look, really, the future for the Labor Party is wide open. They're reviewing their campaign, that's one part, but they're also reviewing their policies, and that's likely to be a pretty long and tortured process for the party.
Political reporter Melissa Clark there.